I'm tracking improvements to our air quality. See the timeline for the clearing. Plus, our chances of severe weather are ramping up. See what you can expect.
Then, who will be Wake County's next superintendent? WRAL is live with an update on the vote happening right now.
Chelsea versus Wrexham in Chapel Hill. Find out how the match is already pumping cash into the local economy.
Right now at 7, many from the mountains to the coast remain in a code orange air quality alert tonight. You can see the hazy skies in the mountains near Boone this morning. To this live look at Carolina Beach right now. Good evening and thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Chris Loving. Good in for Dan Haggerty. We're also preparing for the risk of severe storms headed our way. I want to show you this right now. This is the future cast where you can see all the rain that is going to be headed to our area. Let's turn to meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. So Kat, what can we expect over the next few days?
Well, we've got a lot to talk about between the wildfire smoke and a couple of opportunities for severe storms. We'll begin with the wildfire smoke. Right now, the current air quality 106 in the triangle. That puts us under code orange. And we will remain under a code orange air quality alert through midnight. But overnight into tomorrow, we should see improvements. It's not going to be a clear sky tomorrow. Still a light haze, but it improves. Under a code yellow tomorrow for the entire state of North Carolina, which means moderate air quality. But as our air quality improves, unfortunately, our storm threat will increase. Tomorrow, we do have a level one threat for severe storms for really most of North Carolina. Any storms that develop could have some strong winds and perhaps some small hail, but the threat actually increases to a level two threat for severe storms in the Sandhills over towards Charlotte on Thursday. Elsewhere, a level one threat for severe weather. And this is because we've got a front coming closer on Thursday, and that may provide some wind shear to help these storms really organize. I'll have a closer look at that on future casts coming up.
All right, we know you've been watching that very carefully. Thank you, Kat. Family and friends shared some details about Anthony Day, the 23-year-old who was shot in his car before crashing last night on Western Boulevard in Raleigh. His family says that he loved his family, his car, anime, and paintball. His friends tell us he was just a minute from his shift at Cookout on Western Boulevard when this happened. This happened right across from NC State's campus. And when Raleigh police found Day, he was dead. No one else was hurt.
And I just pray that they find out who did this to Mr. Anthony, because he was a good guy and he don't deserve what happened to him last night. I just keep his family in my prayers.
Raleigh police have no suspects in custody, but say they believe this was a, quote, isolated incident.
The man accused of stabbing three people in Oxford yesterday was unable to make bond and has been transferred for his safety to receive mental treatment. That's according to new court documents obtained this afternoon. The documents also name the three victims as Edward Shaw, Robert Fraser, and Terry Hobgood. Police still have not said what the suspect, 21-year-old Malek Webb's motive might be. Webb has a court appearance next week on July 24th. A former coach and two former students from Bull City Gymnastics testified in the trial of Stephen Manis today. Manis faces four counts each of indecent liberties with a minor and sexual battery. Today's witnesses were called by his defense team. Their testimony emphasized the number of cameras in the gym and the high amount of touching that's involved in stretching and spotting in gymnastics. The prosecution argues Manis is touching crossed the line into inappropriate behavior.
Data shows an average of 11 North Carolinians died each day from an overdose in 2021. Franklin County's Special Operations Unit is using the death by distribution charge to help lower that number. The new charge went into effect in the beginning of 2020, giving drug dealers hefty consequences if they sell to someone who dies. WREL spoke with the Sergeant of Special Operations, who says it's a personal mission to keep drugs off the street.
For us anyway, I think it's just a way for us to bring closure to families so that they can see that justice has been served in a sense when we can make an arrest.
Franklin County's Special Operations Unit is one of the leading counties in death by distribution charges behind Harnett, Cabarrus, and Rockingham.
Rollsville's town council is meeting right now to talk about building a new town center. The center would include a police station, a fire station, a library, and a new town hall. People living in Rollsville voted on four different concepts, and this one you're seeing on your screen was the favorite. It would go right off East Young Street. The project could cost about $65 million. A final vote could come later this year, and construction would not begin until 2025.
Chapel Hill is going British this week. Popular soccer clubs Chelsea and Wrexham play tomorrow at Keenan Stadium. as part of an international soccer series.
The teams are already in town. They were practicing this afternoon. The soccer match is also bringing thousands of fans to the area. As WRAL's Shelley Jackson reports, that's a big score for local business.
Wednesday's match between Wrexham and Chelsea is being advertised all along Franklin Street. It's bringing soccer fans from all around the world to Chapel Hill, and they're pumping a lot of cash into the economy.
Chicken and waffles is a bigger portion, so if you're hungry, I'd go with the chicken and waffles. We have a lot of people coming in.
Osvin Gonzalez, manager of the Carolina Coffee Shop, is preparing for a big day Wednesday. That's when Chelsea and Wrexham square off at Keenan Stadium as part of the FC series.
We have extra staff. We have extra people behind bar.
Tickets to the 50,500-seat stadium are sold out.
It's been a frenzy since the announcement in May.
With the game driving American and international fans to Chapel Hill.
The university campus is just amazing. The facilities are incredible. All the lads are kind of blown away by it.
Palicelli, director of the Chapel Hill and Orange County Visitor Bureau, says the event could pump up to $20 million into the local economy.
We've just seen a really, I think, record-breaking event. And I say record-breaking because usually July is a slower season in Chapel Hill.
The Chelsea-Wrexham game dovetails with the end of a UNC soccer camp, which brought Ian Gourley and his 13-year-old daughter Poppy to Chapel Hill. And these soccer fans definitely have a strategy.
She's got both tops in her suitcase.
If I see any Chelsea players come around, I'm just going to put the Chelsea top on her. If I see Mullen or anything, Wrexham players, I'm putting the Wrexham top back on.
And it's fans like the Gourleys who are driving the excitement and pumping the cash into the local economy.
But I think it'll be fun. We don't really get that much crowd coming in over the summer.
So if you're heading to the game Wednesday night, make sure you leave early, allow for traffic, and have a parking plan. Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Chapel Hill.
What a great event for that area. And hey, sticking with soccer, the stage is set for the 2023 Women's World Cup. It kicks off Thursday night in Australia and New Zealand. The U.S. women play their first game Friday night at 9 against Vietnam. You can catch all the action on Fox 50.
Soccer taking all the action this week.
I know, and a lot of North Carolina being represented in that Women's World Cup, too.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be an exciting time. All right, on to this story. More than $2 billion is headed into the pockets of black farmers who have faced discrimination.
And we're just being totally dominated, you know, and it's time for some change.
Next, how advocates in eastern North Carolina say it could help bring equity back to farming.
Plus, communities on our coast could see more funding to help with climate change. After the break, we'll tell you about a brand new program that could be a very big help.
And we join you again with breaking news from Wake County Schools. A new superintendent has been named.
We have learned the name Robert Taylor. We are trying to get more details, but this is a quick video you can see right here. We do know that WRAL's Aaron Thomas right now is trying to get the latest on this. After that vote was made tonight, the largest school district in the state finally has a new superintendent. We'll be staying with that story here on WRAL News.
Robert Taylor, formerly with Bladen County Schools. Moving on to our next story now, recovery efforts for a teenager hit by a car and thrown into the Neuse River in Craven County came to an end this afternoon. Officials found the body of 17-year-old Trace Nobles just before noon. State Highway Patrol says the teen was taking the ramp to Highway 70 on the Neuse River Bridge around 2:45 this morning when the car hit him. He had been on his way to New Bern from Bridgetown. We are told that the driver did stop and call 911. Officials did not say if they would face charges, and they have not been identified. We're told several crews, including the Coast Guard and dive teams, aided in the search.
The FCC has unanimously voted to block life science giant IQVIA from acquiring digital media company Propel Media. The Durham-based pharma company brokered the deal last year for $800 million. However, the feds say the deal would give them a market-leading position in advertising and as well as give them more incentive to withhold important information from rivals and those trying to enter the industry. Propel Media currently has many clients in the pharma industry.
New this month, farmers can apply for a share of more than $2.2 billion in grant money from the federal government. The Discrimination Financial Assistance Program seeks to help farmers who were discriminated against by the USDA's farm lending in the years before 2021. Black farmers tell WREL that discriminatory lending forced many minority farmers to sell their land, and black farmers now make up just over 1% of commercial farms. If accepted into the program, farmers can get up to $500,000 in grants. Some hope this could empower a new wave of black farmers to be successful in eastern North Carolina.
I think that'll give our younger generation something to look forward to. There may be more hope that comes along with this.
Farmers have until October to apply for the grant money. You can find the application and see if you're eligible in this story on WREL.com.
Preschool-age summer campers are learning to be generous at an early age. Campers at Chesterbrook Academy Preschool Preston work together to donate more than 60 pounds of non-perishable food items to a local food bank. And the food went to Interfaith Food Shuttle for its Backpack Buddies program. Campers collected and organized the donations to be packed into backpacks for the program. The backpacks will give children with lower-income households food for the weekends.
A new federal investment is funneling $60 million to help coastal communities become more resilient to climate change.
A big investment. WREL's Liz McLaughlin has more on how North Carolina could benefit from this.
This money will be distributed through a grant program to help develop the next generation of ocean technology. The hope that this innovation can make tracking current data and forecasting more accurate so that coastal cities can be prepared for climate change and the extreme weather it can fuel. As we near the height of hurricane season in North Carolina, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is seeking new solutions for climate resiliency.
As we're talking about acceleration within the business community, but we're expecting a public-private partnership that's going to be using the networks of capabilities we already have within NOAA and other federal agencies in local communities like you have in North Carolina with your universities.
Organizations can apply now through September for the Ocean-Based Climate Resiliency Accelerators Program.
And we're expecting up to 15 to be awarded funding up to $250,000 each.
Selected participants will be able to apply for additional funding next year of up to $10 million.
We're doing studies with different types of technologies. Communities that are having the new low-cost sensors put in place are able to have the data available to them every day and look at it and see what's happening.
NOAA says the Carolinas have had about 50 new sensors installed over the past year. An example of technology that can inform communities about changes from sunny day flooding to sea level rise, with the hope of protecting our coasts from climate disasters. The Biden-Harris administration announced the $60 million investment earlier this month, funded through the Inflation Reduction Act. NOAA is offering a free webinar tomorrow at 2 p.m. to go over more details about the funding and answer questions. Visit our app or website to find out more about how to attend the webinar and apply for the program. Chris, Ashley.
All right. Another flight to Florida will soon take off from RDU, where you're looking live outside right now. So a little hazy, though, from that smoke.
Breeze Airways just announced it will offer seasonal service to Fort Myers. The first flight will leave November 17th and will be available Mondays and Fridays in the winter and spring. This is Breeze Airways' 12th nonstop route from RDU. Okay, Kat, we've had some hazy skies, but, oh, man, let's talk about the humidity as well. It was another sticky one out there. What's going on for the rest of the week?
It's going to stay pretty hot. Humidity feeling like July, but not as bad as it was some days last week, at least. And, you know, the haze should gradually dissipate overnight into tomorrow. Still a light haze out there tomorrow, but not as dense as today and yesterday. A live look at Zebulon, the historic town hall there. Beautiful. And you can see a little bit of a pink glow in the distance as the sun begins to set. The sun likely to be a pink-orange look with the haze tonight. Tomorrow, storm chances are back with us. We've got a better chance of a shower storm tomorrow, and it's not out of the question that we could actually see a little bit of rain in the morning, maybe mainly toward the Virginia line. As we get into the afternoon and evening, that's when storm chances are up to 40%. Of course, we've got a big day in Chapel Hill tomorrow, the Chelsea versus Wrexham game, 7:30. Temperatures should be around 83 at that time, just a small storm chance. And as we head into the later night hours, that chance around 20%. I'll let you know if that changes once we get an update to the forecast, some new data in tonight at 10 and 11. We are watching some thunderstorms off to the west, closer to Ohio right now, as well as Kentucky, West Virginia, some of the areas that are seeing these storms. Those are the ones we're watching as they move closer to us overnight. They're likely to weaken, but by early tomorrow morning, they could arrive in a weakened state along the North Carolina-Virginia line. So just don't let that catch you off guard. If you do wake up to a little bit of rain tomorrow morning, maybe a storm, we wouldn't expect it to be very widespread. Tomorrow afternoon, that's when we've got a better chance of these scattered storms firing up. It's about a 40% chance, 7:30. Paused it for the start of the big soccer game. We are looking at the best chance of storms at that point in our eastern counties, and we'll watch that closely for you tomorrow. Midnight, things quiet down tomorrow night, and then we're watching for Thursday. Thursday, we have a front that gets a little closer to us, and that may help to drive up storm chances. There's also going to be another potential for some strong to severe storms on Thursday. The best chance is close to the North Carolina-South Carolina line, and the best chance of storms would likely be during the afternoon. So when we break it down, it's about a 40% chance of storms tomorrow, 50% Thursday. It's not 100%. It is not a washout. Tonight, things should be pretty quiet on the radar. Low temperatures in the low to mid 70s, and tomorrow highs range from the upper 80s in Roxborough, lower 90s in the Triangle, but mid 90s for Rocky Mount, Goldsboro, Clinton, Fayetteville. It's going to be a steamy day out there again tomorrow, so make sure that you are staying hydrated. And the good news is, you know, we're not going to have that code orange air quality alert again tomorrow, but we are going to be dealing with the heat and humidity. Better storm chances in store for the middle of the week. By the time we get to Friday, we're down to about a 20% chance for rain. Saturday, 30%. But look at our weekend temperatures, 89 degrees, sounding pretty good after our stretch of 90s. Doesn't last long, back up to 90 on Sunday. We could be back in the mid 90s next week, but overall, your 7-day forecast almost entirely full of 90s, so I'm going to take that 89-degree day on Saturday. You know, we have a chance for some storms, 30%, but it's not too bad. Now that we've adjusted to the heat, I think we can handle it a little bit better by the time we get to the weekend.
We have, Kat, but I got to say, you know, these guys who are playing the Wrexham-Chelsea match tomorrow, they're used to this time of year being in the 60s back home.
So it's going to be a game changer for them.
I know, I do feel for them.
Ooh,
well, at least they're even. You know, both of them are used to the cooler weather. It's not like one's from Florida and, you know, one's from somewhere where it's 60 degrees.
Exactly.
So hopefully, you know, may the best team win.
And stay hydrated. We hope they stay hydrated. Thanks, Kat.
A local congressman is making waves on social media.
After the break, a look at Wiley Nichols' special tribute on the House floor this week.
You can listen to this newscast as a podcast. The WRAL News Daily podcast features entire newscasts from beginning to end. Morning, noon, evening, and now the 7 p.m. newscasts are added to the podcast each day. You can find WRAL News Daily in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Welcome back to WRAL. Right now it's 7 o'clock. At 7:22, these are live pictures coming in from the Wake County School Board, where the board just voted on a new superintendent. This is who it will be, Dr. Rob Taylor. He does have history here in North Carolina. On your screen, here's a little more about the superintendent, who will be making $326,000 annually. There's his experience from January 2021 to 2023. He was North Carolina Deputy State Superintendent. Before that, he worked in Bladen County as the school superintendent and was a Clinton City Schools Assistant Superintendent. Catherine Truitt is the state superintendent. I just got finished speaking with her about 5 minutes ago. Here's her reaction, all new at 7.
I could not be happier, not just for Dr. Taylor, but also for the students, families, teachers, and staff of Wake County Public Schools. This is the best news I've gotten in a long time.
This is a big deal. The biggest school district in the state, of course, a lot ahead for this new superintendent. We talk with Catherine Truitt about what she thinks some of his new priorities will be, the key priorities going forward as he starts this new position in the beginning of October. One of those believed to be school safety. Our Aaron Thomas is there at that board meeting. He is going to have much more reaction and what this means to all of the parents and students at home. Coming up tonight, Fox 50 at 10 and WRAL at 11 o'clock.
And of course, just further to Mark's reporting there, this is all to replace Katie Moore, who had been the superintendent there for 5 years, but she had been with the school system for, I think, over 30 years. So this is going to be a big change, but a lot of praise that we're hearing about this new superintendent. In fact, I just want to get you some color here from our education reporter, Emily Walkenhorst, who says, and I'm just reading you a quote here, when he was working for the DPI, the Department of Public Information, the people who worked there really liked him. His colleagues there really liked him. Everybody saying really good things. And as you can see there from his resume, he was the North Carolina deputy state superintendent from January of 2021 until 2 years later. In this past January.
And certainly we're trying to get see if we can interview him as well to kind of see how to lay out the plan. That's something we're going to have to work with the county to try to get. But for right now, again, Dr. Robert Taylor voted in as the superintendent of Wake County Schools.
Yeah. Hey, a congressman representing our area did something a little goofy on the House floor this week. Here's what we can say. Representative Wiley Nickel is a big deadhead. Take a listen.
I rise today to celebrate and pay tribute to the Grateful Dead. Last night, the Dead & Company closed out their final act in San Francisco. Madam Speaker, I like people who like the Grateful Dead, and whether in the halls of Congress or back home in North Carolina, I'll always be thankful for the memories they gave us, the music they shared, and the profound impact they had on the lives of everyone in this country.
And Congressman Nickel's tribute to the Grateful Dead already has more than 300,000 views and hundreds of retweets and likes. He posted on his page that the Grateful Dead reminds us that music has the power to bridge divides and bring people together. The Triangle is known for having many beautiful parks, but several popular parks are built around historic ruins.
Everything from mysterious ruins to graves, from remnants of an old zoo to pieces of a lost Raleigh legend. There's even a full-sized dinosaur and a forgotten fountain of youth. WRAL's Hidden Historian will be visiting one park each day this week to show you the hidden ruins, or you can visit them yourself. Visit WRAL.com and search Hidden History for a list of those ruins.
Just a reminder, the next Powerball winner will become an instant billionaire. The jackpot for tonight's drawing is now $1 billion, the third largest in the game's history.
Well, let's show you the numbers here. Here are the winning numbers from last night. 5, 8, 9, 17, and 41. The Powerball is 21. That's it for us here tonight. Thank you so much for making WRAL your choice for local news.
Our newscast is next at 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 o'clock on WRAL. We'll see you there.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.